like a new Lincoln with all of its class. I like a martini and bird on the glass. I'm gonna start living, you wait and see. Nothing but the best is good enough for me.
All right, welcome to another episode of Frankly Drinking. I am your host, Lawrence.
I'm Luke, and you're listening to the podcast with three songs, two pours, all in one show, celebrating Frank Sinatra and bourbon, Frankly Drinking.
Well, absolutely, except for it's not just bourbon.
Well, American whiskey.
American whiskey.
Yes, we have to include that.
And the reason I say that is because this is a special episode.
Ooh.
You're getting lucky tonight, folks, because...
Getting lucky? Did you hear that?
You're getting an extra episode in the month of March.
Ooh.
For St. Paddy's Day.
Bonus.
That's right, bonus.
Yep. Ow!
Yeah.
Come on.
You're not wearing green.
Oh, I see this. See? You got a, he's got a green shirt on.
Yeah.
No, and he just... Pinched
yeah, that's what you do,
foot
right?
There, and right. I'm telling you, but no green. I have a black and white Frank Sinatra T-shirt,
well,
so I'm
nice,
really dressed up for tonight.
Yeah, you knew this was going to be a St. Paddy's episode. Come
I
on.
Wondered about you. You put that green shirt on.
Yeah,
I noticed that.
Yeah, because I want to be legit.
Okay.
Well, anyway,
I'm just going to have to make up for it in other ways.
Yes.
No green shirt.
I figured, this would be a great episode to do because, you know, Frank was Irish. So
as we established on our very first podcast, Frank, not Irish, but his father did pretend to be Irish when he was a fighter and also a saloon keeper. So
yes.
They had Marty
O'Brien's
saloon that Marty... ran Frank's father there in Hoboken. So he had that saloon and he ran it. And basically Frank had a fake Irish dad.
Don't we all? Well, we're going to jump right into the music because, I mean, why not? I've also got the perfect way to basically jump right into the music. That is with Jameson shots.
What? Are you kidding me?
No,
that's
no.
not. That's.
I know it's
that's not
a,
bourbon.
I know we're breaking the
that's
rules
not
here.
Whiskey.
But you can't have St. Paddy's Day without having Jameson shots. So
okay.
I'm doing it for a reason. We'll explain later. But basically, why not? You got Jameson shots. What are you complaining about?
Well, it. Okay, I'll give it a. I'll give it a shot.
All right.
How about
well,
that? I'll give it a shot.
Here's to Marty O'Brien, and the fake Irish dads out there.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck if you've ever been a lady to begin with. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck let a gentleman see how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck be a lady with me.
Oh man, so good. What a classic.
Yeah,
that's the version. I selected the version from Sinatra 65. I don't know if there's another version that's
actually,
more popular or.
No, that was the right version. There's only one version that Frank did in the studio. There's a million live versions of it. Of course, he did it at the Sands, Sinatra with Count Basie. That's
yeah.
a famous version.
That's a great one.
Using the same orchestration by, you know, this, I think this one is by Billy May. for, I thought it was Nelson Riddle, but apparently it's Billy May.
I got the LP right here.
Let's take a look at that. Larry, you take a look at that. I'm going to say this was written by Frank Lesser from the show Guys and Dolls.
Oh.
And it was performed in the 1955 film, which Sinatra performed in. It was performed by his co-star, that great songbird, Marlon Brando. So if you can imagine Marlon Brando singing this, yes. And for years, Frank would mock him from stage and talk about how bad Marlon Brando's version was. In that film. So Frank was trying to make up for it. He was trying to redeem this song from his co-star's very, well, I wouldn't say very bad, but let's just say not good version of this.
Never heard that.
It was first done for the Reprise Musical Repertory Theater release in 1963. This is where Frank, he did a number of musicals where he assembled a cast and they just did the songs from a musical. So they do the whole musical, just the songs, not any of the dialogue.
Okay, gotcha.
And so they did that. They did Guys and Dolls was one of them. There were multiple other ones. They're not easy to get. The CDs are obscure. You can sometimes find the LPs, but these have not been reissued so far as I know. But they were an interesting creative idea.
Are they the same versions that you recorded later, or did you re-record them?
No. That is the exact version that was used on Sinatra 65.
Gotcha.
Which
it says here, Frank works with Bill Miller, his conductor. I don't know who.
Right. Well, Bill Miller is his pianist.
Okay.
And a longtime pianist and worked very closely with Frank forever. And like you said, came out again on Sinatra 65.
I don't know much about Sinatra 65.
Quite a great compilation. I mean, it's singles and oddball things that they laying around.
Just laying around.
Yeah. This was not an album.
Go to the closet and fetch that Luck Be a Lady track.
Go find some stuff we got laying around here. Yeah, this is a fantastic recording. I've been in Las Vegas, Larry, many times, mostly for business. And I was there, one of the first times I was there in the 90s, I stayed at the Bellagio. At the Bellagio, yes. The hotel with the dancing waters out front. And Irish springs of water.
Bellagio.
Founts of water.
Yes.
And they had that song. I was working, okay? And
sure you were.
I was working the whole time. I never even went to the gambling table, which I regret to this day. I mean, what kind of an idiot goes to Vegas and doesn't gamble at least a little bit?
Pull a slot or two. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm in the bowels of this hotel. They've got music just pumping all the time over the little, you know, PA system or whatever. And they had this song on heavy repeat. Heavy repeat. I think it came on every hour. And you know what? I never got tired of it. I was there for 3 days. I must have heard it 50, 60 times.
The same version or different version?
Oh, yeah, no. The same. The classic version we just heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. A snippet thereof. Definitely go to wherever you get music and listen to Luck Be a Lady. I mean, listen to it 50 times like I did if you want.
You can't get enough of that one.
No.
So the reason I started with, obviously for St. Patty's Day, I started with Jameson shots because that's what you do, right?
Oh.
Is because that's what people's association with Irish whiskey is. They only know Jameson.
Oh, okay.
Jameson's the most popular brand of Irish whiskey.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of different Irish whiskeys. Irish whiskey, again, is made from barley. It can be malted or unmalted. There is no smoke. There's no peat smoke like scotch.
Okay.
So Irish whiskey and scotch are differentiated by the fact that scotch has smoke. All scotch is peated.
Okay.
Unless it says unpeated on the bottle.
Yeah.
So What I've chosen tonight, since I've kind of warmed your palate up with actual very mild, you know, straightforward Jamesons.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is probably a young blended whiskey of some kind.
Yeah. Jamesons is a young Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Okay.
Ask those people who've had a bunch of it out of a night on the town. They will tell you it's a young whiskey.
Pretty young. Okay.
But the folks out in McMinnville, I think it's McMinnville, or it's either McMinnville or Sheridan, Oregon, are making.
Oh.
Have recreated a recipe from 1865 that was on a tax excise ledger. So a British tax excise ledger.
Okay.
That they wrote down and recreated at their distillery in Oregon. So this is an American whiskey that is done in the style of an Irish whiskey.
Okay.
An old Irish whiskey. Okay. Now, the folks at Ransom are doing a lot of artisanal stuff. They're like doing a lot of, you know, gins and ryes. They have a gin and have a rye.
Okay.
And they're basically kind of a farm, you know, farm distill type place. This is only aged 3 years or more in French oak. They're really cool. They've got these fancy glass corks.
By the way, I could see this, what looked like the bottle was open, folks, because it has a glass cork on the top. And I kept wanting to say to Larry, please do not pour out that whiskey because it looks like you got the bottle open.
Or please do.
Well,
please
pour
do. You mean pour it myself.
Pour it in my glass. But
this is a craft spirit. It's readily available at larger stores. And they have a bourbon as well, but this is probably, there's a couple of places that are doing pot still and they're doing pot still American whiskey, but it's not made with barley. These guys are actually doing it with barley and actually trying this recipe, and trying to mirror Irish whiskey as much as possible. So this actually is not my favorite Irish whiskey, but it's pretty good.
And it's American.
Well, it's American.
American.
Yeah.
Irish American whiskey.
Oh, no, you got American a lot of barley.
Irish whiskey.
Yeah, there's a lot of barley in the nose. Mm-hmm. Oh. This is a very classic profile for Irish whiskey.
Honestly, at first smell, this smells pretty foreign. I'm going to tell you.
Well,
you know, but I know that's the point. I'm just joking around.
It's really good. Mm. It basically, you get a lot. There's a lot of American stuff that tastes like this too. Mm. But the difference here is you're getting that pot still in this, and you're getting, it's very bready. It's very yeasty.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. It's very young, mm-hmm. but, it's very, very drinkable. I don't know what the proof is on that,
and
but it's not that high.
Let's see. We're going to take a look at the bottle.
It's a great looking bottle. They used to have a very tall bottle with kind of almost a handwritten or hand printed looking label, kind of an old looking label.
Yeah. And by the way, they call this the Emerald.
Yes. I'm sorry. It's Ransom Emerald.
From Ransom, 1865 style. Yeah. It's a 43.8. Yeah. So.
A lot of Irish whiskey
That's not quite 88 proof.
Yeah, a lot of Irish whiskey is lighter, lower in proof. Mm-hmm. There's obviously, you know, Jameson, lots of Jameson bottles. I recommend the Jameson Black Barrel. That's a good one.
Oh, you gave me that.
That's good stuff.
And actually, it's a little bit more like a bourbon. There's something about the aging and the kind of barrel like that. Oh, charred barrel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I haven't completely enjoyed it all, but I like that bottle.
So,
still have it.
You know, not to get on a huge tangent about this, but all the Jack Daniels and all the Maker's Mark and all the first fill barrels from the United States.
Right.
Are broken down after they age Jack Daniels and Maker's Mark and other spirits in the U.S. And they ship those overseas to Ireland and Scotland. They ship them down to Mexico for tequila as well.
Right.
So basically, you've already used it once, and so the char is not as heavy and as potent. Mm-hmm. Plus, you have the climate of Ireland and Scotland, so you're not getting a hot, you know, climate.
That's Kentucky summer.
Right. Is really, or winter, that's bringing out, you know, a lot more of the flavor in that first, you know, first fill char barrel.
Yeah.
So these barrels are already used, so they're not, you know, they're not imparting a lot of char and, you know, burn or smoke or whatever, you know, that they're getting from the wood.
Right.
And instead, a lot of the Irish whiskey flavor is coming from the pot distillation and coming from that barley.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Good stuff.
Well, yeah, that is, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Ransom
Emerald.
The Emerald.
Yep.
Made in America to the style of Ireland.
Yeah. This is probably the best example of that in the States. American Spirit Works in Atlanta has one called Druid Hills. That's really good, but against that's more of a regional thing.
That's by the way, a great outfit. I mean, they've
American
got some
Spirit Works.
Yeah. They've got some really good products.
Yeah.
But I haven't tried the Druid Hills.
Druid Hills is a seasonal thing, obviously around, St. Patty's Day, but then this Ransom Emerald, the Emerald, you can find that on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I need to cleanse my palate. From this Irish whiskey for our next experience. And with that, we're going to introduce another Frank song. You know, Frank has, hundreds of Irish songs in his catalog?
I believe it's over 1,400 Irish songs that Frank performed over the course of his career. actually... Bing Crosby, who, of course, Frank idolized and later became friends with, Crosby did a whole album of Irish songs and, had a good success with that. Frank did not do a million Irish songs, but he did do songs about luck and belief and things related to Ireland. And to St. Patrick's Day. And so that's why we chose Luck Be a Lady, the luck of the Irish and so forth. And for the next song, we have a song by Sammy Kahn and Jewel Stein. They wrote it for the film It Happened in Brooklyn, which Sinatra was in 1947.
There's no Irish there.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah. No, there's not a single Irish person in Brooklyn. I've lived there, I know.
You're pulling my leg.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
You're pulling my leg, I know. But the he did it in 1947 for the film. We're going to hear the 1957 version that was orchestrated by Nelson Riddle on Capitol. And I think it strikes the right note, as it were, for St. Patrick's Day and the Irish.
So good. All right. Well, we'll see you after the break.
I believe in wishing well, and I also believe in a lot of things the daisy tells. I believe that a four-leaf clover brings lots of luck, lots of joy, lots of happiness. I believe those things. And when it's Christmas, I believe in Santa Claus. Why do I believe? I guess that I believe because I believe.
Oh, hey, all you hip cats, it's your old pal here. You're listening to Frankly Drinking, the podcast that gives you three drinks and two songs from the great Frank Sinatra, my old buddy. Oh, wait a minute. I got that backwards. It gives you, let's see, 3 songs and 2 drinks from old Frank. What can be better than that? Well, anyway, I gotta go. But go pick up this podcast wherever you get your digital creations from. Well, you're drinking and listening to Frankly Drinking on the podcast. What's a podcast? I don't know. I'm gonna Google that now. What's a podcast?
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
Oh, yeah. I tricked you. I stole your gold, Luke. Welcome back to Frankly Drinking.
Wow.
Yeah. I wanted to drop that in there for the season. There's not many opportunities to play Being Green.
No.
By the man.
No, no. And that's, I don't have any research, but I think, isn't that a Kermit the Frog cover? I mean,
written by Kermit the Frog.
Kermit
orchestrations
the Frog.
By Dr. Teeth.
Gonzo, I think he did the orchestration
yes.
on that.
Yes. No, I think that's, isn't that a Rod McEwen? He's the Irish poet that,
Oh, Rod McEwen.
Yeah, I think it's a Rod McEwen.
Rod McEwen.
But yeah, that's from a Sinatra and Company album.
Right.
And, it's green. So, you know, it's legit.
Yeah, no, that was good. I actually do think it was, do think it's from Sesame Street.
Well, it's from it's from the Muppet Show. Right?
Yeah. From the Muppet movie.
Oh, it's before that.
The Muppet Show, yeah. Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And it was written by Joe Rebozo.
Oh.
And he wrote...
I love Rebozo.
Rebozo wrote a number of songs.
Oh, I thought he was a Muppet.
No. That's... what was that guy's name? The rat was named something like that. Rebozo. Ratso. Yeah. Ratso, of
well,
course.
That was a play on Hoffman's character.
From, Ratso.
Yeah.
Ratso. No, but I've heard Frank talk about Joe Rebozo from stage. So he did.
Oh.
He did other Joe Rebozo songs in addition to Being Green.
Yeah, there you go.
Kermit the Frog, Frank Sinatra. You're going to hear it all tonight.
Did Frank ever appear on The Muppet Show?
I don't think he did, but it might be worth looking up.
I don't think so. Can
I
you imagine?
No, it would have been amazing.
What am I doing? I'm singing with a pig.
If he did, that would have been great. Did he do The Simpsons?
I think there's a Simpsons episode where he did a line or two, right?
They might have had a character who sounded like Frank, but I don't think Frank ever did.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. Johnny Carson is the one I'm thinking of. Carson did The Simpsons.
Oh, Carson did.
Yeah, Carson's in The Simpsons.
Carson did.
Yeah. There's a great Conan O'Brien story about that.
Well,
Conan O'Brien, an Irishman.
Hey, there you go. Bring the Irish
in. That's the worst Irish.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention about Luck Be a Lady from earlier, it was also sent up on The Simpsons. They did a crazy version of it in 1998 when Mark Hamill... was the guest voice, guest character. It was the Mayored to the Mob episode. And they said the lyric was changed to Luke be a Jedi instead of Luck be a Lady.
Wow.
Luke.
Really?
I'm not going to try to sing that, but I have to look that up. I've heard it before, but I haven't heard it in years.
That's pretty
Luke
goofy.
Luke be a Jedi. Yeah. So...
Yeah, I mean, he should have done those. He should have done. I know he was old. I know that he probably wasn't into it, but he could have kept the popularity of Sinatra around a lot better with a younger generation.
You think?
Well, versus going
in the
on
80s.
Versus going on Magnum PI without a hairpiece.
Oh,
I mean, I thought that was really cool. Just saying, you know, if he was doing, if he did the Muppet Show or if he did the Simpsons, then.
Well, yeah, he did the late night show. You know, he did the Tonight Show. He did, you know, the occasional talk show, Dick Cavett, and all these things like that. He would do every now and then.
Yeah. Well, he did keep, you know, the quote. What
the thing he really did was he just kept performing.
Oh, yeah, he like kept going
Caesar's,
and going.
Caesar's, you know, all these so many Vegas shows. Just, I mean, he did hundreds of shows a year some years.
Sure. But he also, he tried, you know, successfully. I shouldn't say tried. He was successful at releasing the last two records of his career in the 90s with today's up-and-coming artists.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so Duets 1 and Duets 2, you know, obviously that was a big thing, a big push to kind of get one play, if not a dozen or more, several hundred of his song on MTV. Like he's literally making decisions that late in his career to make it about the music and make it about his legacy with a new audience, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Duets album, the first one, there were two of them. The first one was in 93, and it was a spectacular commercial success. Became the first Frank album to go triple platinum, which means it sold more than 3 million copies. Wow. So, tremendous commercial success.
Was it not a critical?
I think it's fair to say mixed reviews.
Okay.
I didn't read
reviews back then, so.
Well, and definitely some tracks are better than others. Some of the duet partners work better. Some of the material is stronger, or it works better with the talent that's involved. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, I think, on the ultimate thing, the ultimate outcome. But certainly quite a few really nice, strong, fun tracks. Incredibly, the production was very well done. The orchestra is in fine form. A lot of classic orchestrations were used, particularly those by Nelson Riddle and some of Sinatra's other arrangers, Costa and Billy May. Different, they used classic arrangements.
Yeah.
And then re-recorded the music. And Frank recorded, I read that he recorded, one day he recorded nine of the songs in one day.
Nine of the songs in one day. And how old was he when he made this?
I mean, 93. So he would have been.
He was 82 in 98, so.
Well, yeah.
We're really good at math.
Yeah. after that, Jameson's.
Yeah, blame it on the Jameson's.
Nah, so he would have been 78 at the end of 93. So 77. Yeah.
77.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't, you know, I never owned those albums. And it's difficult now because you can't actually get those on iTunes. I think that there's some sort of rights restrictions with the artists. Because it's not digitally available.
Okay.
You can obviously find it and listen to it, through YouTube or other places you search for.
But, right. And if you want to really get back up in your technology, you can buy a CD secondhand. go to eBay. They were, like we just said, 3 million copies of this were sold. A lot of them were CDs.
Well,
so there's a lot of them out there.
But it's also been reissued. You know, the 20th anniversary was only a few years ago of this album.
Yes.
2013.
Yeah. So, I think they actually did it to time with the. Maybe it was a 25th anniversary.
It was 25th. Okay.
Because it was not that long ago. Maybe,
gotcha.
Maybe it was 18. Yeah.
Because I picked up the vinyl recently.
Oh, okay.
So there's it's brand new. You can still buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not hard to buy. but to find online,
to stream
through official streaming services is tough.
You can listen to it on YouTube.
Yeah. And they actually added tracks, I believe, later. They added a Willie Nelson My Way cover or duet.
Yeah.
And then Pavarotti for the European pressing, right?
Yeah, there were a few tracks that didn't make it onto the record. I don't believe he did a duet with George Strait that I don't think was on the duet's record.
That's a weird matchup.
I don't remember what song it was right now, but it's not bad. An interesting pairing, but George Strait, I mean, unless you think country is just horrible, George Strait, it doesn't matter what you think country music.
Yeah.
George Strait has a lot of talent.
George Strait's great.
Very, very good performer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Frank did some song with him. And one thing about the recording of the duets album, which I think we should note, is that Frank did all of his parts with the orchestra, with his pianist, Bill Miller. And then all the other parts were sort of phoned in. They went and recorded them remotely, and then they used like a high-speed phone line to transfer the files. You know, this is
like an ISDN.
It's not exactly the digital, the way we would do it today, but they use some technology to get those files, get those recordings. And then I know Phil Ramone was involved in the production and a couple of other producers. So it took a lot of technical know-how. And one of the criticisms of the record was, so we have these duets, but the performers were never in the room with Frank.
Yeah.
So that that takes a little bit of the romance out of it, because it would have been amazing, you know, to have the footage from the studio of Frank with Barbara Streisand doing the song, or Frank with whoever.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, logistically, it just probably didn't work out because of tours or because of egos.
I think it really had more to do with how much time can Frank put into this? And Frank I don't think Frank wanted the hassle of doing so many different dates. He would have had to do many different dates to accommodate all these people.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pairings, we're going to pair our Jack Daniel's selection this week with our last song and talk about that in a second. But I chose something really, really obvious for this one. It's the Jack Daniel's Green Label. Green Label available in Kentucky, Tennessee, parts of Georgia, parts of the South, other regions. I don't know. This might be something very hard to find out there in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Especially the U.S. It's not worth hunting down. It's 80 proof Jack Daniel's. I still don't know to this day.
What's the difference? Yeah.
I think it's just blended or aged or in a different part of the warehouse or watered down a certain way. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
We should look that up. But in the meantime, it's enough. Yeah. Okay. In the meantime, we've got Jack Daniel's with a green label.
Green label.
And Larry, this brings up a very brief story on my part.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah.
About Green Label Jack Daniels.
You have a Green Label Jack Daniels story?
Yes. Green Label Jack Daniels. When I was a senior at the University of Georgia.
Oh boy.
And
do we want to tell this story?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's a very good, it's a sipping whiskey story. So it's not a bad story at all.
Yeah, this is a sipping whiskey for sure.
Yeah. We had a meeting, what we called the all-night meeting of the Demosthenian Society, which was like a speaking club.
Okay.
And you'd get up and give impromptu speeches and you'd argue. And it was great fun. A lot of camaraderie and, you know, just, and it had all this history.
This sounds like a demure rap battle.
I don't know. But this place, I mean, the Demosthenian Society went back for 150 years or something like that. It went back for forever. And, but at the all night meeting, I was sitting there and you literally would meet all night that one time. And this was like February or March.
It's like initiation.
Yeah. Kind of like that. And, I had, just a 100 ml, bottle of, Jack Daniel's Green not Label.
Much. Yeah, that's tiny.
You know, it's like it's basically like two of the airline bottles.
Yeah.
Had that in my pocket, and that was the one night of the year that it was appropriate to have a beverage if you wanted, as long as you kind of kept it quiet. And so that's what I did. I sipped on a little bit of that Jack Daniel's Green Label. Yeah. Number seven.
There's no potency to this at all. It's as light as Gentleman Jack, if not lighter. And it is everything about Jack kind of watered down. But it's tasty.
Yeah.
I just don't understand this product. But at the same time, there's a lot of Green Label bourbons and whiskeys of the old days. And so I guess, Green Label is always kind of reserved for rye sometimes. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know if it's because they just wanted to demarket as a lower proof product. You know, we'll have to research that or, Google that.
There's a lot of Green Labels just out there. I mean, broadly speaking, across bourbon.
Yeah, well, it's not a...
You know?
It's not one... I mean, it's not a specific thing necessarily, but...
Like, Heaven has Hill, a meaning.
Yeah. Yeah, Heaven Hill, Johnny Drum, Jack Daniels.
Old Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Old Fitz has a Green Label, yeah. So, I don't know. It's... I don't know if it means something, but... I don't know if this is what... Bono was drinking when he teamed up with Frank Sinatra, but Bono did meet with Frank in Palm Springs and has an infamous story about trying to keep up with Frank. There's some great photos from Anton Corbin, who took, a lot of great shots of the band, U2 and REM, and just hundreds of bands and artists and entertainers. And he was covering this event, this meeting of voices. But yeah, Bono and Frank met for one evening, and Bono was trying to keep up with him and fell asleep, passed out. And at some point felt some wetness in his lap and thought that he had basically peed in his pants. But it was actually, he had spilled his whiskey on himself because he fell asleep trying to keep up with Frank, is how the story goes.
Wow.
So Frank was just telling stories, evidently, and keeping him up late. But yeah, they sang our next song. And I encourage you to go out there and find these tracks, listen to the duets albums, because it is the last recordings we have of Frank. We're not going to necessarily dedicate a show to the duets, but it just kind of naturally happened here.
Yeah.
Which, and Bono is the perfect Irishman to celebrate it with.
Absolutely. Yes. And Larry and I are both longtime fans of U2, the super group from Ireland and
north side of Dublin.
And Bono was featured on the song I've Got You Under My Skin, which was written by Cole Porter in 1936, and it was recorded by Frank multiple times in 1956 for Songs for Swingin' Lovers, in 1963 for Sinatra's Sinatra. Once he went to Reprise and he wanted to re-record some of his songs, kind of try to cut into some of Capitol's sales of his songs. And then it was done for this 1993 album, Duets. And by the way, Larry, Bono did his part at STS Studios in the control room in Dublin, standing on a sofa.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he was standing on a sofa, but makes for an interesting image.
Yeah, I think that he prefers to record in the control room, from what I understand.
Oh.
I'm not sure the mic arrangement or the mic he uses, but yeah, standing on the sofa though, huh? I'm sure it's Bono. I'm sure he's going, reaching over, take that fader, turn it up to the left.
He's telling him what to do.
We're going to push it higher. Push that one higher there. Put Frank in my left ear. Don't mean to bug you.
He's telling Danny Lanoa what to do. He's telling Brian Eno what to do. He's telling them all. Yeah. He's telling Flood.
Yeah.
He's telling all
Edge,
those guys.
Edge,
play the blues. Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
So I think it's appropriate because we've got two of our favorite singers, Frank and Bono, together on a program that brings together two of our favorites, Frank and bourbon whiskey, American whiskey, tonight. Even a wee touch of the Irish whiskey.
Wee American Irish whiskey for you. Yeah, that's right. You know the deal. Follow us on Instagram. It's Frankly Drinking. Go to franklydrinking.com or go to anywhere you get podcasts to find the show. This has been Frankly Drinking. I am Larry.
I'm Luke. And here's Frank
drinking.
And Mama.
Holding you near in spite of a warning voice comes in the night and repeats and shouts in my ear.
Don't you know, blue eyes, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality.
But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop.
Before I begin, cause I've got you under my skin.